Good morning. Welcome to our Monday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Good to join you on this morning. A little late start for me, and sometimes Mondays catch up with all the activity on Sunday, and but we're here now and ready to go talking this week and praying about, well, a foundation of prayer. Yesterday here at Deer Run, we kicked off a series from Nehemiah on building for revival and the need that we each have for revival to take place in our life and how that applies to our desire for revival in our community, in our church, in our nation, in our world. And looking at how God took a servant, a man in exile, a cupbearer to the king, and turned him into a builder, and then into a governor, a man who God used to prepare God's people for revival. And so yesterday we talked about just sitting with God to plan. And the first part of plan was prayer. And praying kind of was woven throughout all of the elements of listening and acknowledging and noticing. And so this week we're going to talk about different aspects of this foundation. Although Jesus is the real foundation, the foundation of our revival is to sit with God and pray. When we're connected with Him, when we pursue Him, when we're in line with His will, we change. And we experience that revival that we need, and that we desire. And so, we're going to be looking at different aspects that I believe ought to be involved in our prayer life. And today we're going to open with pursuing God. We pray, and part of what we do when we pray is we pursue God by having that conversation with Him, by learning to listen to Him, to know Him, to understand Him, to hear His voice, and to know that it's His. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Throughout the Old Testament, God had warned His people that sin would separate them from Him. In fact, that was His warning to Adam and Eve. And it was a continued warning throughout the history of the people of Israel leading up to the time of Jesus, and it continues to be a warning for us today. But within that warning, there was always a reminder that God was not the one rejecting them, they were rejecting Him. And so He would lay out some version of this reminder that He gives through Jeremiah, that from wherever they are, no matter how scattered they become, no matter how estranged they become from God, that from that place, when they turn their face toward Him and seek Him with a whole heart, He would be found. And sometimes I think one of the reasons that we lack the revival in our life and in our church and in our community and even in our homes that we would desire, we lack the heart to fully pursue God. We seek Him, we want Him around, we want blessings, we want goodness. But there's part of our heart that has been given to the world, that has been given to self, that has been given to sin. And we come close to noticing God's presence, but we don't experience it fully because we're not fully engaged. We're not really seeking Him with a whole heart. one of the things I pointed out about Nehemiah was that he sat with God for days. And he says his prayer before God was lifted day and night. His pursuit of God, he knew that he needed not only for God to listen, but perhaps more importantly, he needed to listen to God. And I wonder, in our pursuit of God, how much time do we spend in prayer? In prayer with our Bible open, in prayer reading God's Word, hearing what His Spirit wants to instruct us in, what His Spirit wants to comfort us in, what His Spirit wants to correct us in. You see, God speaks in the presence of His Spirit, and we encounter that conversation through His Word. The Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It was carried along by His Spirit to men who faithfully wrote it down. We want that conversation with God. We must understand that when Jesus said, and John writes, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he's talking about Jesus. And so we pursue God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, just as we're commanded by Jesus to love God in that way. When we are fully committed to something, we generally leave no stone unturned until we can get it accomplished. When we want something, we continue pursuing, we continue seeking, we continue to put all effort into it until we find it. I'm in a city and I'm, surprise, surprise, looking for ice cream. I'll keep tracking it down until I find an ice cream shop that's open, even if it ends up being a convenience store that's selling ice cream bars. But I don't go to one or two stores that are closed and say, oh, well, I guess I won't get ice cream. If my mind is set on it, I keep looking, I keep searching, I keep pursuing. And sometimes I think we enter into a conversation with God and our mind is so cluttered with the things of this world that we don't hear, but we either don't hear Him or we don't hear what we want. And it's almost as if our conclusion is, I guess God's busy. I'll come back another time. And God's desire is that we would show the initiative to keep knocking, to keep seeking, to keep looking, knowing that He will be found. And our life changes when we realize the presence of God in the midst of everything that we do. In the things that we do that are done to glorify Him, we do them with a greater joy and excitement when we recognize His presence in the midst of them. But in the things that we do to satisfy self, we realize a conviction when God's in the midst of are attempting to do that. And so this need for revival, this desire to experience a great revival and an awakening within the church begins with every one of us as an individual. The church is not an entity, it is a collection of God's people who choose to gather together and worship Him. In the normal sense, in the big sense of the word, the church is the collection of all believers worldwide that belong to Jesus. But in the way that we typically use it in the local context, it experiences revival only if the individuals within it are pursuing God with a whole heart. As I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't have to start with everybody all at once. God took a dozen men. Judas had been replaced by Matthias. Paul had not yet encountered Jesus and been called among the apostles. So it took a dozen men to, in a rather quick time, develop a reputation of turning the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. People who were noticed, who have been unschooled and ordinary men, but had been with Jesus. Think of what God can do with you and a handful of your friends fervently pursuing God with a whole heart, praying night and day that God would move in a mighty way in your own life and in turn in the life of your church, in the life of your community. God's desire is for revival. We're not asking for something that He's going to reject. But it is something that requires our participation. God doesn't force us to change, to live with that greater pursuit of Him. He calls us to it. He gives us instruction over and over again of the benefit. And He says, "All who are thirsty, come." Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has given us all that we need in order to be in relationship with You through Jesus. And has given us Your Spirit to help us grow in that relationship and to communicate in a way that's good and right. In a way that's honest, in a way that helps us to grow and to change and to be revived. So God, today I pray that You would help each one of us to examine exactly where it is that we're at. Not just physically where we're at, but where we're at in relationship with You. How close we feel, how distant we feel. That we would hold fast to Your promise that no matter where we're at in that relationship, when we turn to You and pursue You with a whole heart, we will find You in a great and full way. So God, today, help us to fervently pursue You with a whole heart, to desire revival in our own life, to submit to that spirit of conviction that consistently shows us where we ought to be changing. That we would reflect Jesus more accurately and the world would see Him more clearly. Father, as we pursue You, may we be mindful of the people around us that are in great need. May this revival not simply be about us being more excited to be Yours, about us being more joined together with You, but may it truly be about noticing the lost, those in need, those who are in despair and who are not sure where to turn. God, today I continue to pray for the Mitchells who are in the Philippines serving You with a very sick boy. And while You've provided some great improvement, there's been an experience of a fever now, and a heart rate that is elevated. And I pray for great wisdom from doctors that may be able to treat that, but Father, from a faith perspective and you resolving those issues for your glory, for the benefit of your kingdom, for the goodness of your will. Father, may you restore and may you help Brett and his family to be at peace, to be encouraged, to be helped, to be strengthened, to be able to rest in the midst of this storm. And may their trust in you continue to bear much fruit, not just in this physical healing, but much fruit for the kingdom through their work. And Father, for every one of us, as we pursue you, may we learn more and more to trust you, that we would call upon you in every situation about everything that we know and we desire and that we fear and that we love, and that you would revive us as we pursue you with a whole heart. And may that pursuit help us to be more consistent in lifting up Jesus in everything so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Monday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.